Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
G'day, Mike Hussey here, but you can call me Mr. Supercoach. KFC Supercoach BBL is back and there's 25 grand up for grabs. So what are you waiting for? Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.
This is your town. This is your station. This is Waitley.
Kane Corns filling in for Jared, who's having a well-deserved break. We are here for the Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel. It's in stock now, and the number's 1300 736 736. Heaps of text coming through on the 40 Winks temper text line, 0433 98 1116. It was a busy first hour, dominated by the situation unfolding at Hawthorn and the ramifications across the league behind that and how long this could take to wrap up. And we're thinking it's not going to be a short process. Took a lot of calls on that. Spoke at length about the AFL Players Association's objections to extra contract clauses above and beyond the standard playing contract, which I completely disagree with. Of course, this all came about by Jordan De Goey's refusal to sign whatever clause Collingwood had put in front of them. Coming up after 10:30, Sam Edmonds going to take over. He's going to have Richmond's best and fairest winner, Tom Lynch, who got it done by one vote at their best and fairest last night. We'll talk some basketball as well. The Opals are flying in their tournament through to the quarterfinals, and they have avoided the USA. 1300 736 736. Mick's in Taylor's Hill. Hello, Mick.
Hello.
You're on, buddy. You want to speak about the Blues?
Sorry, mate. Congratulations on last week. Inspirational. The Blues. I missed the last 5 weeks of the season overseas. I did watch and suffer from afar. Thank God I wasn't in Melbourne. I'd like your two minute brief on how a team that's got Cripps in, well, what was Brownlow winning form, Sam Walsh, Wiedering and Doherty, probably their best year ever for the club, and the last two Coleman medalists, amongst others, misses finals. And where we're going to improve next year?
Yeah, and it's a good point. When you put it like that, there's no doubt they underperform from the position they are in. The game management side of their game plan wasn't well drilled enough in so many winning positions, and made a number of key errors late in games, which cost them. And we've seen those small margins, and Collingwood were the best example of that. So, had they had time to bed down the game plan enough under a new coach, or did they just look at the essentials and neglect, I guess, the game management side of things and working through game scenarios and situations in red time and chasing a win or protecting a win? There's no doubt about that. I thought they lacked depth, particularly on the outside of their midfield. Their wingers have been an issue. Blake Akers comes in to solve that. But this is a group that absolutely should be top four next year. And now, it was one of the biggest chokes we've seen, really, in the history of the game from the position they were in, not only ladder-wise early on in the year, but game-wise and the winnable games that they coughed up. So it doesn't feel like it's going to be an active trade period, Mick. They've got some salary cap stretches that they'll have to deal with, but this group should be aiming for top four next year. There's no doubt about that. Well, one of my favourites is in the studio, ready to go, leading Flemington trainer Wayne Hawkes. He's for Westbury Start. It's all about success with our Tarzino at Westbury. Wayno, thanks for stopping by.
KC, how are you?
Oh, you've got a little intro. Well, I there it is.
All the people don't like you. This is what they're saying to you. Give it up, brother. Give it up. You're KC, aren't you?
Which we love. Hey, I've had some exclusive vision sent my way. Now, this is exclusive. You've been involved in an incident, and it involves your black BMW car. and perhaps a practical joke that's been played on you. Can you reveal all for our listeners, please?
Yes, just quickly, what happened was about 7 years ago, I went with friends to Matarangi in New Zealand, which is one of the great holiday destinations. The wife said, we're going to go and buy some bean bags. Went and bought bean bags, got the bag, went back, filled it up, beans went everywhere, bag was fine. What I didn't know was she got an extra bag and tucked it into my suitcase. So I brought it all the way from Auckland back to Melbourne. So this has been a running gag for a fair while. Long story short, she's over for the Royal Show that's on in Melbourne at the moment. And what happens is that she's staying with me. So I get up in the blackness of darkness this morning and go to open the back door of my car, and there are beans from here to Adelaide.
Wow.
So I thought I'd just share that with you on Twitter. So
I had a good laugh about that. How did you sort out this situation? There's going to be little white balls bobbing up for years. You won't get them all.
Yes, yes. Not the only little white balls. But, you said it, brother. That's Simon Zara, Flemington trainer, said he had the balloon for his three-year-old daughter's birthday. Inside the balloon was like confetti. And he said, fair dinkum, I'm still getting them out of my shoe, out of everywhere. This is the gift that's going to keep on giving. So I thought I'd just share it with the SEN listeners. So if they get on Twitter, they'll be able to see it this morning.
Yep, have a good laugh at Wayne's expense. Now let's
I don't
talk.
Get back, I get even.
I don't deny that. Hey, what did you make of the grand final? Did you have a look? Did you switch off? Were you done halfway through the first quarter?
I like Geelong. It's one of the teams that I like to follow. I'm actually a Carlton supporter. So what was your quote a minute ago? One of the biggest chokes.
Yeah, of all time.
Yep, but you know what? It is what it is. So I thought the grand final was fantastic from the point of view. Being in a team game that I'm in the racing industry with your staff and the jockeys and all that sort of thing, it was all about the family. It was all about the team. And you know what? I don't mind admitting it. I had a couple of tears through before the match and definitely after the match when Tomahawk gave whoever it was a hug. And Joel Selwood, has he become gone from the great man to a legend, I would have thought, wouldn't
he? And I would think so. I think Gary Lyon said something similar on Breakfast yesterday, that he's clearly an automatic walk up in the Australian Football Hall of Fame.
What about what Rampy said? I mean, there's your opposition that just got the bejesus kicked out of you. That comes on and says,
No,
it was good. But I'm saying, how good was it that he's come out and in front of everyone and said, what a great pleasure it is to play with alongside someone like Joel Selwood. I mean, it was just take your hat off. Well done, yeah. AFL. It is the gift that has kept on giving this year, and I'm glad it's over, because then what happens is racing now becomes front and center, and blokes like you, Kane, you'll have to work a bit harder in your studio now trying to find stories, because the AFL is the gift that keeps on giving all year.
There's no doubt about that. Well, talk to us about your preparations for the spring carnival that you speak of. Are you happy, comfortable, fitting well, and ready for some success?
Yeah, it certainly hasn't been easy. The weather has been the biggest problem in Melbourne and Sydney, and the people that live in these two states. It is the gift that keeps on giving. So I would position it like the olden days at Moorabbin. Why don't we play at Moorabbin anymore? We go now to, it's not Etihad, it's called Marvel. It's called Marvel. They've got a roof. Okay, we can't put a roof over Flemington, obviously, on the track, but we need to build some wet weather tracks that actually cater for this, because we had 7 years of drought. Now what's happening is with the El Nino effect?
Mm.
So
are there examples of that worldwide? Like who's done it best worldwide, build racetracks that are weatherproof? Didn't know there was such a thing.
Well, no, it's not weatherproof, but I'll tell you the two famous tracks, Sha Tin in Hong Kong and Flemington in Melbourne. Because when it rains there, the water runs away. The best tracks I've ever worked on are the tracks that drain the best. So, as I said, go back to the olden days when we were kids at Moorabbin. You're up to your knees in mud, and it was good for useless football players like myself that couldn't get a gig in the under 13s. You'd come back to your own, because in the wet weather, the fast guys became slow. But it doesn't create a great atmosphere. So we've had Monday, I think, called off the races. in Melbourne. We've had Tuesday called off as well. So it does interrupt all your preparations, because the other thing is, it's not just about race day, Kane. You're trying to get the horses fit. So to be like the footy players in their pre-season, where it just pours with rain at, say, Gosh's Paddock for Collingwood, should I say, and it just doesn't help. And then you go out and... I don't know whether you were any good on the wet or not. Did you like the wet weather when you played?
Nah, not much. And then
there you go.
I just ran from Adelaide to Melbourne, and we had some brutally wet days. And it honestly took me kilometres and kilometres to warm up when it was raining. So I imagine the horses are the same. Comparing a beautiful horse to myself, but they mustn't like it.
No, they certainly don't. Adelaide to Melbourne. You start off, because I'm from Adelaide like you, you start off in hills end up in hills, and you're
brutal.
From Ballarat, I mean, and right through the middle when you're going across Nil and Kniver and Horsham, it's as flat as flat. I mean, it would have been just peace.
Well, the flat was peace, but the rain wasn't, but you're right, out of here was hilly. But so how do the horses cope with the weather?
Well, some do and some don't. I mean, it's a bit like, why do you go skiing in your holidays and other people want to go to Hawaii? Because they want to get away from one or the other. So the horses are very, very similar. If you actually go to the races and you're looking at a horse, and in wintertime, normally the horses that generally like the wet weather actually look really good and they're glowing, because not much grows in winter. Polar bears probably grow in the Antarctic, and I reckon, I don't know what else grows in winter, but there'd be very, very few things. I think I said that a few weeks ago, and someone said my stomach grows in winter, and that's a fair thing. That is a fair thing, but some horses don't like the wet weather, so we actually are going through bad times, but we need to get our track facilities, one, managed better, but number two, what we don't do in our industry is Well, as I said, we're not racing at St Kilda. We're not racing at Windy Hill. We're not at Victoria Park with Collingwood. You people have fixed up your tracks. You've fixed up your stadiums. You've got new stadiums. We're a long way behind in the racing industry because we don't fix up our grass tracks enough. And when people are doing the punt and they're doing the form, it's regularly about how the track is rated, Kane. So it really comes into play. And some horses just genuinely, you just said as a football player, you didn't really like the wet, probably because you couldn't get a good grip. You was fast, speed. Well, that brings, you know, the wet weather brings you back, doesn't it?
No doubt about that. Hey, talk to me about the Melbourne Cup winner, very elegant. A few issues?
Yeah, not good. There's a big chance that she mightn't run the Arc. And for the people that don't know what the Arc de Triomphe is, it's the Melbourne Cup on steroids. So it's arguably the best race in the world. And she could be in doubt to actually get a run. So I think they're only capping at about 20 runners, and it is what it is. So would be great for the Aussie constituents. I know she's a Kiwi, but we'll just treat her like Russell Crowe and Farlap and the likes. She's now an Aussie. So... Mark Zara, the leading Victorian jockey, is going over to ride her. Now the race is in doubt. So she'll still be able to run, but not in that race. So I'd like to see a Melbourne Cup winner go over there and at least even run competitive in the greatest race in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it £5 million for prize money for that one?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's about right. But you know what? Pound for pound, our racing in Australia has better prize money, but a lot of what they do over there is more for the prestige.
Prestige. Hey, mate, it's time to talk about the Cox Plate and speak with you about one of your favourite memories of the great race. Celebrate a centenary of legendary this Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day. Firstly, let's have a listen to this.
Well, no, we don't have the audio. So it was too
old.
We
don't have the audio.
No, it was too old.
Well, 1984, so they didn't keep the audio.
How old were you in 84, Kane?
I was one.
Thank you. You don't remember it?
No, okay. I don't remember it. So that's
13.
Why we've got you here to reminisce with your memories of it.
Red Anchor in the Cox Plate. He was just an out and out freak of a horse. His career was very short lived, but he was a freak of a horse. And to win a Cox Plate the way that he did, I remember as a 13-year-old boy in Adelaide watching a replay of the race. I don't even think I watched it live, but I watched a replay of the race, and that was one of my earliest memories of really getting involved in horse racing. And, you know, the Cox Plate, the Melbourne Cup's the best race for the general public, but as pound for pound, probably the Cox Plate's probably the greatest race for the racing purists. So Red Anchor winning in 84 was one of my great, great early memories.
Experience the ultimate mates day out with racing, food, drinks, and one legendary party in the Ladbrokes Mates Mode Carnival Zone. What about the crowds? They're going to flood back. We saw 100,024 full capacity at the MCG for Grand Final Day. The week leading up, people were coming from everywhere. What are your expectations with the crowds this spring carnival?
Well, I know from being a Flemington trainer, I have a bit to do with the people at Flemington Racecourse, and they are giggling. No, it ain't over until it's over, but they are giggling. Everything's going full noise, and if you are interested in going to Melbourne Cup Week, I can tell you, you need to get your skates on because it's selling out fast, and that is the absolute truth. That's not a pitch. So it was so good when COVID was on from the point of view of going to the races, Kane, and it sped up the whole process because you didn't stop and talk to owners straight after the race. You talk to the jockey, grab your saddle, down for the next race, saddle it up, back up, do it over and over again. But that was great for about the first 6 weeks. And then I famously said when Ole Kirk won the Caulfield Guineas that I was standing there by myself, giving myself a thorough hugging because I was the only one there. So it's not much fun when you win theoretically a grand final and you're standing there by yourself. So we want the crowds back. We saw what happened with the AFL, and we all know at the start of the year the AFL was a bit worried about whether we would go back to the old. But you know what? Mm. Racing, even on Sunday at Sandown, was fantastic to get 3,500 people there, and normally you'd get 30 people at Sandown. I know it was a bigger day, being day after grand final day, but Flemington is in great, it's in great works and everything. I tell you what else they've done too is they've mixed up the birdcage this year. They've changed things around. I suppose, you know what, we need to be positive out of COVID, Kane, and some of the things that we've learned out of COVID, we're using them at Flemington and they're changing a lot of things around this year. So
yeah,
you can't change too much. I mean, it's a horse going the races. We're having a bet, we're having a drink and we're watching it run, but all the behind the scenes things, they are changing plenty of.
Mate, outstanding. Do love your work. Thanks for stopping by. I'll let you go because you've got some vacuuming of that car of yours to do and get those beanbag balls sorted out. And it could take you a while, but appreciate it, mate. Always good to catch up.
Pleasure, Corn.
There you go. Spoken by the great man.
Wayne Hawks for Westbury Stud. He was here for Westbury Stud. Tarzino, Reliable Man, Redwood, El Rocker, each providing success in more ways than one at Westbury Stud. He's got some vacuuming to do, and we'll be back before Sam Edmund takes over after this.